with Judy. Ladies and gentlemen, we have something extra in store for you tonight. Here to keep his date with Judy is the well-known comedian, Al Pearce. And now to keep our date with Judy, Judy Foster, the lovable teenage girl who is close to all our hearts. And now let's see what's happening at the Foster house. Judy is in the living room with her mother and her kid brother Randolph when the phone rings.
Should I answer, or do you still have hopes of a date tonight, Judy?
It's only 8:30. I'll answer it.
She never gives up, does she?
Mother, make him stop teasing me.
Oh, stop teasing her, Randolph.
Hello?
Hello, Judy. This is Oogie.
Oh, hello, Oogie.
Ah, it's Oogie, the dream man.
Judy, do you have a date tonight?
Well, not exactly.
What do you mean, not exactly?
Well, several men have asked me, but I sort of refused on the grounds that I wasn't much in the mood for a date tonight.
Boy, does she play hard to get.
Be quiet, Randolph.
Oh, that's too bad. On account of I was going to ask you, but, well, if you're not in the mood, I'll just forget about the whole thing.
Oh, don't do that.
Our mood has changed.
You mean, you do want a date?
Well, I might consider one.
Consider one? She'd grab one.
Well, if you don't feel like it, you don't have to, Judy.
Oh, that's all right, Oogie. I wouldn't mind pulling myself together and going out for you.
Oh, we wouldn't be going out.
We wouldn't?
We'd just be sitting on your front porch. I'm broke.
Oh. Well, I guess that'd be all right. Then I wouldn't even have to pull myself together.
All right, then. I'll run right over. Goodbye.
Goodbye. Oogie's running right over.
There's the doorbell, somebody.
Wow, can that boy run? I'll get it.
Don't be silly. That can't possibly be Oogie.
Well, good evening. Good evening, Randolph.
Oh, hello, Mr. Emerson.
Hello.
And how's everybody this evening?
Just fine.
Your father here?
Not just now.
He had to go out on business for a while, Mr. Emerson.
Oh, that's too bad. It's too bad. I wanted to play a little gin rummy with him. Thought I'd just drop in and see if he felt like playing.
Well, sit down. He ought to be back in a minute. He said he'd only be gone just a little while.
Dora! Dora!
Oh, here he is now.
Dora, I've got great news, boy. Oh, hello, Emerson.
Hi, Melvin.
Glad you're here. I want you to see something. Come on outside, everybody, and see what I've got in front of the house. You'll never guess in 1,000 years.
A fire engine?
Come on and take a look. Boy, am I lucky. This is the biggest break I've had in a long time. There. Take a look at that.
Gee, boy,
well,
for
I'll be.
Oh, it's very nice, Father. What is it?
Well, it's an automobile, of course.
Are you sure?
Why, that car that you see before you is the greatest little buy anybody ever made in this town.
Did you buy it, Father?
I'll say I did. Just look at it. Come on over here. Isn't that something? Custom built, fine tires, red leather upholstery.
Uh-huh.
They say it originally cost $3,000. And guess what I got it for?
25 cents?
Don't be an idiot. That car's worth a fortune. Why, when that car was made, they really made cars.
What year was that? Or is there anybody alive who still remembers?
I resent your attitude, Emerson. Car isn't new, but I just want you to see the condition it's in. Hey, listen to this horn. Just listen to it.
Was that a horn, or are there ducks under the hood?
Now cut that out! Doesn't anybody know a great buy when they see one?
Oh, Melvin, did you really buy it?
Well, of course I did.
Jeepers.
Judy, will you please stop saying jeepers?
I'm sorry, Father.
Dora, do you realize how hard cars are to get nowadays?
Well,
I had to practically browbeat the man into selling it to me. Why, he's been offered $500 for that car. And you know what I got it for? $100.
Foster, you've been gypped.
Gypped?
Mm-hmm.
Why, that's the best buy I ever made. Why, at $100, this car was a steal. Hey, get in. I'll give you all a ride. I'll show you what kind of a deal I made. Come on, get in, everybody. Here, Dora, you and Randolph get in the back. Emerson, you sit in front with me.
Okay.
And, Dora, notice in the back there are little vases to hold flowers.
Yes, Melvin, they're very sweet.
If this car rides like I think it's going to ride, we'll need flowers.
Is that so? Well, I'll show you.
You showed me.
All right, now, let's all go back in the house and read the evening paper.
You stay right where you are, young man. That was just a... Well, any car will do that once in a while. It was my fault. I'm just not used to driving it. When I get onto it, I'll... Well, I'll start it again.
We're at the gate. There goes the gun, and we're off. We're moving.
Foster, tell me frankly, what year was this antique made?
What do you mean, antique? Why, this machine is like you.
What year, Foster?
Well, around the 20s.
Oh, come now, let's not be vain, Foster. Don't try to knock a few years off the old girl. Tell the truth. What year was she born?
Well, 1916. But that was a great year for cars.
Just think, 1916, 13 years before I was born.
You be quiet, Judy. Emerson, will you stop looking at me like that? This is a great buy, I'm telling you, a great buy. Why, this car's good for 100,000 miles before she's through. There's no car made today with a stamina of a baby like this.
Father, step all the way down on the gas. Let her out and see what happens.
All right, shall I?
Yeah, I want to see if you can get her all the way up to 12 miles an hour.
Now, Randolph, stop. I never saw a family like this. When a man really puts over a clever deal, really makes the best investment of his life, do they appreciate it? Oh, no.
Well, what do you know? The engine fell out right smack in the street.
Best investment of your life. Good for 100,000 miles.
You keep quiet, Emerson.
Funniest thing I ever heard of. He owns the car 10 minutes and the engine falls out. Wait till I tell the boys.
You say one word to the boys and I'll knock your block off.
Father, could you and Mr. Emerson go outside and fight? Oogie and I are having a hard time talking with all this noise going on.
Yeah, Mr. Foster. Every time I try to say something nice to Judy, I kind of get drowned out.
Well, then get drowned out. This is my house, and I can drown out anybody I feel like drowning out.
Oh, don't get so worked up, Melvin. It's all right. You made a little mistake buying the car, but anybody can make a mistake.
I did not make a mistake. I just can't understand it. Why, the fellow that owned that car was offered $500 for it just this morning.
Why didn't he take it?
Because he didn't want to sell it to a stranger. He wanted to sell it to an old friend like me.
You're some old friend, I must say.
Dollars to donuts, the friendship's over.
Foster, all I can say is you're the biggest sucker this town's ever known. Falling for a gag like that. $500, but he didn't want to sell it to a stranger. Foster, you're a pushover, that's what you are.
Emerson, you quit that.
Anybody ever try to sell you the Brooklyn Bridge or the City Hall?
I warn you. One more word
ever
and I'll...
take any wooden nickels, Foster.
Oh, for the love of heaven.
Good morning, good morning, Miss Williams.
Morning, Miss Emerson. There's somebody in your office waiting to see you.
That's so. Well, I'll go right in. Al Pierce, why, you old goat, you.
Well, how are you feeling, Emerson?
Great, great. What are you doing in town?
Well, we're playing a camp show near here, so I thought I'd run in and see you.
Well, I'd never forgiven you if you hadn't. Gosh, it's great to see you, Al. Great, after all these years.
Say, it has been a long time, hasn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Say, you remember when we used to go fishing together? We were so poor we had to share the same pole. This district brings back my old boyhood to me. I never miss it. Pass it up.
Yes, sir. And say, what about the time you got caught swiping old man Perkins' watermelons? Brother, what a character you were. And speaking of characters, that one you play on the radio, Elmer Blurt, the low-pressure salesman, always knocking on doors. Oh, man, that must be fun.
Yeah, but it's sure hard on the knuckles, Emerson.
Yeah. But don't you ever run out of ideas about what to sell next?
Well, not yet, but, you know, I've tried selling nearly everything except the Brooklyn Bridge.
Well, you ought to try that. You know, it might be... Uh-oh. Huh? Wait a minute.
What?
Al, I've got a great idea.
Hmm?
Say, how would you like to help me out with a rib?
Well, if it's got any meat on it, count me in.
Oh, no. Look, I mean a practical joke. Al, you've just got to do this for me. Listen, there's a friend of mine named Forster.
Mm-hmm.
He's the biggest darn sucker for a good sales talk you ever heard.
Mm.
He bought a 30-year-old jalopy yesterday. Funniest thing you ever saw. And he thought he was getting the buy of a century. Now, look, Al, all you've got to do is you go over and see...
No, not me, Emerson, really.
Come on now, Al. I won't take no for an answer. Now, come on.
But, Emerson, you know how practical jokes are. Sometimes they backfire.
Oh, now, stop worrying. Think of the opportunity I've got. An actor like you in town and Forster just right for the kill. Oh, man, what a setup, Al. Al, you've just got to do it.
Well, Emerson, for an old pal like you, I'll do it. But I hope we don't get in any trouble over it.
Oh, not a chance.
Thank you.
Now, back to A Date with Judy.
Really, Oogie?
For Pete's sake, Judy, get off that phone.
In just a minute, Father. I'm talking to Oogie. Oh. Hello, Oogie. I'm still here. Yeah.
She's lucky to be there for the rest of the night.
Oh, rats.
But, Oogie, I do have a date tomorrow night. Now, if you could switch the basketball game to tonight, maybe I could go with you. Well, I don't see why they can't play tonight instead of tomorrow night.
Judy, I would like to use that phone.
Are you going to call Mr. Warren again about the car?
Yes, I'm going to call Mr. Warren again about the car.
Melvin, you know he's not going to take it back.
No, if he refused the last 100 times Father asked him, he's not going to change his mind now.
I'm going to sue him. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to sue him.
Well, Oogie, maybe I could switch my tomorrow night's date to tonight, and then I could work you in tomorrow night.
I wish I could work in a telephone call around here. That's what I wish. Just one little telephone call. That's all I ask.
Oh, gosh, practical joking is fun, but I'm kind of worried. I hope this Mr. Foster's got a sense of humor. I hope.
Yes? What can I do for you?
How'd you do, mister? Blurt's the name, Elmer Blurt. Would you like to buy a nice 1908 Stanley steamer?
No, I certainly would not.
It's a pretty nice car, as cars go and as cars go. This one's almost gone.
What would I want with an old thing like that?
It was brand new in 1908.
I don't care what it was. I am not interested in buying any more cars.
How'd you do, mister? Would you be interested in a fine second-hand tractor, good condition?
A tractor?
Yeah. It's no good for speeding, but for plowing or seeding, it's just what you need, and boy, am I pleading.
No!
How'd you do, mister? Would you like to buy one of these super-duper road maps? Shows you every place you want to go.
Now, look, I already have a map, and besides, I don't want to go anyplace.
With a map like that, you could go anywhere.
Will you get out of here?
How'd you do, mister? I bet you'd like to buy a second-hand milking machine.
A milking machine? Are you crazy? I haven't got any cows.
I know it, but with this machine, you can siphon gas out of 4 tanks at once.
I do not want to buy a milking machine. Dora, will you please tell me, why am I being persecuted this way?
Well, Melvin, I guess it got around town about your buying Mr. Warren's car. Now, you can just expect a lot of people to try to unload their old wrecks on you.
That car was not an old wreck. It was in fine condition. It was just that... Well, the engine was a little loose.
A little loose? Just fell out kerplunk in the street, that's all.
Randolph! Dora, will you tell that son of yours if he twits me any more about this thing? I'm going to turn him over my knee, big as he is.
Randolph, if you twit your father any more about this thing, he's going to turn you over his knee, big as you are.
Message received and noted. Roger.
Thanks for quoting me so accurately, Dora. Well, where's that phone?
In its usual place.
I'm not going to beat around the bush anymore. I'm going to call my lawyer and file suit without any more to do. Hand me that phone, Judy. I better grab my chance at it.
Here it is, Father.
Well, at last.
What do you know?
I'll take it, Father. I have a feeling it's for me.
No!
Well, you're doing a swell job. You know, the whole club is wise. I told them what I'm up to, and it's killing them.
You know, Emerson, I'm beginning to feel sorry for that guy. Don't you think that we ribbed him enough?
Oh, no, Al. This is the best rib that was ever pulled in this town. I wish I could have been there to see Forster's face when you told him about the Stanley steamer.
Yeah, he was pretty upset. Boy, was he sure steamed up.
Say, Al, look, why don't you phone him from here and give him another sales talk? I'll listen in on the extension.
Oh, well, don't. Let's let up on him a little. I don't want to do
it. Oh, no. This is too good. Anyhow, when he learns the truth, he'll get a laugh out of it himself.
He's a good sport, huh?
Oh, sure. He's a swell guy. Why, he'd pull the same thing on me if he had the chance.
Well, okay. For you, I'll do it. Here I go. Hello?
How'd you do, mister? Would you like to buy a piano?
Don't tell me it's you again.
Okay, I won't tell you. I'll let you guess.
I had to answer the telephone.
Look, mister, this is a great piano. Two pedals, three-way stretch, four-ply, and a full set of ivories.
Now, wait a minute.
Both uppers and lowers.
Now, listen.
It's the greatest buy in a piano that's been since the mice got in my Aunt Betty's.
I don't want a piano.
Need any cigarettes?
Why don't you leave me alone? Why do you keep persecuting me like this? I'm hanging up on you, do you understand? I'm hanging up on you. That ought to show him. Imagine being pestered like that. I don't think that fellow's all there.
Nelson, you certainly were very abrupt with him.
Abrupt? I should have hung up right away.
Now, who's that?
Don't tell me. Let me guess.
Give me that phone. I'll tell that fellow where to get off. I'll blast his ears off. That's what I'll do. Now, listen, don't you ever call this house again. And don't you ever knock at my door, or I'll get the police after you.
Gee, Mr. Foster, what did I do?
Doggy!
Oh, gosh, that was funny when Foster said, why do you keep on persecuting me like this?
Yeah, well, I know this is okay for you, but I think we better lay off now. After all, enough is enough.
Oh, no, no. I've got a great idea. Al, you just can't let me down now. You just can't do it. There's just this one more little thing. Now, this is all you have to do.
How'd you do, lady? Just open the door a little wider, please. I want to bring my motorcycle in.
Your motorcycle?
Beauty, what's going on in here?
Wowie, look at that.
Yeah, ain't she a beauty? Look at her, everybody.
Why is everybody at the table? Oh, so it's you!
Yeah, I guess it is.
You get out of here. Get out before I take you by the heels and tie you in a bow knot.
Yeah, but I brought this motorcycle over and thought you might want to buy it. Take a look at those tires. Tired, ain't they?
You know, if I had a motorcycle, Oogie could drive the motorcycle when he couldn't get his father's car, and I could sit in the sidecar if it had a sidecar.
Well, there's one that goes with it, yeah.
Now, you see here, you get that thing out of this house.
Jeepers, I always wanted a motorcycle. Can't you just see me whizzing over to Curly Whiteman's house on this with my feet on the handlebars and using no hands?
No, I cannot. Now, listen, you get that thing out of here.
How many miles do you get to the gallon?
Depends on whether you're going up or downhill. And another thing, she's got all the latest gadgets, too. No windshield wiper, though. Oh, gosh. No windshield.
I don't care what it has got or it hasn't got. Will you get that?
Yeah. You ought to try sitting on the seat, mister, just to sort of get the feel of it.
Who, me? Why, I wouldn't think
What's
of...
the matter? Scared of it? What?
I bet you'd look good on a motorcycle, Father.
I still say I...
Oh, go ahead. It won't hurt you none. Make the folks happy.
Well, I might try it just for a minute.
Yeah. Feels pretty good, doesn't it? Like sitting on a cloud in it.
Not quite. You know, Dora, I used to have one of these things.
You did, dear?
Yeah. I bought it when I was only 18. Yeah. What's more, the first time I got on it, I rode it right off the bat.
Bet you could ride it right off the same bat this minute.
Or right off a bridge.
Well, no, not a motorcycle.
Oh, that's too bad. I kind of hate to see you be like that. Sort of a chance of a lifetime for you. Only $50.
No, I'm not a bit interested. I wouldn't... Did you say $50?
Oh, Father, are you going to buy it? Are you really?
Melvin, remember the automobile.
Please, Father, think of all the gas it would save.
Well, let me think a minute.
Got my fingers crossed.
Well, as long as you all insist, I'll buy it.
Oh, happy me. That did it. That's sure swell, mister.
Yeah, but I want that sidecar that goes with it.
Okay, I'll take the motorcycle and go right down and have it put on.
Gee, Father, I think you're wonderful.
And I think you're adorable.
I think you're crazy.
Calling all cars, calling all cars. Be on the lookout for police motorcycle number 648. Officer Rooney reports it's been missing all afternoon. Now being ridden by a man wearing a brown hat, that is all.
Well, I'll be. Do you hear that, Mac?
Yeah. Imagine losing your motorcycle. What a cop.
Hey, Mac, look at that motorcycle. That 648 Rooney's bike.
By golly, you're right. Well, we'll get him.
But I tell you, Judge, it's all a mistake.
I'll say it is, and you're the one who made it, young fellow.
But I tell you, look, I'm Al Pierce, and I'm playing a camp show here.
Oh, you don't say. Pretty serious offense, stealing a cop's bike.
Yeah, but, Judge...
The charge is illegal possession of public property, resisting arrest, and, well, here, catch this. It's the whole book.
Now, look, if you'll just... I've got it. You phone Ed Emerson. He'll identify me and explain this whole silly thing.
Ed Emerson, eh? Well, if you're trying to bluff me, young man, we'll soon find out. Officer, pick up Ed Emerson and ask him to come over. Sorry to bother you, Emerson, but this fella claims he's Al Pierce and says he knows you.
Yes, Ed. Tell the judge who I am.
Tell him who you are.
Yeah. Go on, tell him.
I'm sorry. I've never seen you before in my life.
What? Why, you double-crossing so-and-so. All right. I know what to do. Judge, well, look, will you have Mr. Melvin Foster come down here? Yeah, that's the fella. He can explain everything.
Well, all right, but you better not be bluffing this time. Officer, pick up Melvin Foster.
Well, hello, Judge. Did you send for me?
Oh, Mr. Foster, am I sure glad to see you.
Oh, it's you, huh? Where's my motorcycle?
Well, now...
Your motorcycle?
Well, certainly. I bought it from this salesman not an hour ago.
Oh, so you bought it, eh, Foster?
Well, of course I did.
I guess old Melvin Foster knows a goodbye when he sees one.
Well, this throws a different light on things. Buying stolen property is serious business.
Stolen property?
Oh, wait, just wait till the boys hear about this.
Emerson, what are you doing here?
Uh-huh. Don't tell me. I see it all now. So this was your work, was it?
Oh, come now. Why, it was all in fun, Foster, all in fun. You see, Judge, knowing how gullible Foster is, well, the boys and I got together and we figured out that with Al Pierce in town, why, we could just...
Oh, then this really is Al Pierce. Oh,
of course. Why, certainly.
I hope you'll accept my apology, Mr. Pierce.
Well, that's all right, Judge.
So, it was all a rip, huh? Just to see how big a sucker I could be. Is that it?
Why, of course, Foster, of course. No hard feelings, I hope.
Oh, no.
Of course not. After all, what's life without its little joke?
What's life without its joke?
Well, now that everything's all cleared up, what do you say? Let's be going, fellows.
Just a minute, Emerson. Not you.
Huh?
There's a little matter of appropriating public property that you'd better explain.
What? Yeah, but Judge, don't you see? It was all a gag. I was going to bring the motorcycle right back.
Very interesting. Now, would you like to call your attorney?
Well, of course. No, I can't. He's out of town till tomorrow.
Well, then you'll have to be our guest until he gets back.
Who, me? You mean in jail? Overnight?
Well, Emerson, who's the sucker now?
Now, Foster, now, just you wait a minute.
Brother, how things can turn out.
Now, look here. You look here, Foster.
You're going to get stuck with the Brooklyn Bridge, Emerson? Or the City Hall?
You cut that out, Foster. Cut it out,
Al.
I say.
Come on, Al. Let's go home and have dinner. Dora has a steak with the juice just oozing out of it.
Al, you can help me. You can do something about this.
Well, I'm sorry, Mr. Emerson. I never saw you before in my life.
Oh, you know me, Al.
Yeah, sure do. And I sure do hope you'll sleep well tonight. I hope.
here's Judy again.
Hello?
Judy, this is Oogie. Say, you know that old automobile your father sold my father?
Yes. Oh, jeepers. Did something awful happen? Did something terrible happen?
No. It goes like $1 million. We think it's snazzy.
We want to thank Al Pierce for being with us tonight. A Date with Judy is written by Elaine Leslie and stars Louise Erickson and Dix Davis. Mr. and Mrs. Foster were played by John Brown and Myra Marsh. Music was composed by Paul Sautel and conducted by Konstantin Bakalinikov. The program was produced and directed by Helen Mang.
This is the Armed Forces Radio Service.